As we prepare to hear God's word to us, let us join together in prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our series looking at a few select psalms from the prayer/hymn book of the Bible. And this morning we are going to be looking at Psalm 23. It was probably the most familiar, certainly the most familiar psalm from the scripture, and actually maybe one of the most familiar passages in the whole of the Bible. So listen to God's word. Listen to the word of God. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here ends our scripture lesson for this morning. Well, one of the things that's kind of been interesting when we've traveled in rural Wales, and particularly up in northern Scotland, is you really got to get used to sheep. I mean, they are all over the place. You know, there are sheep in the fields. There can be sheep on the roads. One time we went by and there was a sheep standing on top of a stone fence, and we startled him and he jumped straight up. They're all over the place. And actually, this is a picture I took in the background is, St. Clement's Church. This is on the Isle of Harris up in the Northern Hebrides Islands. And my son and I were kind of hiking up a hill to get a good picture of the church. And I turned around and there was a sheep staring at me. And I said, oh, can't pass that up. But they really were all over the place. Although we did find that a bigger problem was goats. On our way up here, driving up there, we passed this sign on the side of the road, said, beware of feral goats. And we kind of laughed. Ah, ha, 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 that's really funny. Well, quarter mile later, I mean, we found ourselves in the midst of a herd of about 30 goats. And you know, those things just didn't want to move. So you kind of had to inch your way through to get by there. But all that's simply to say is that as I was preparing for this sermon, which has to do with sheep, that came to mind and actually kind of ties in here a little bit. Since we'll be looking at the famous psalm whose first words are, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, the 23rd Psalm is undoubtedly one of the most loved passages of the Bible. These six verses are simple enough for a child to learn. How many here, you know, memorized this in Sunday school? Yeah, and some of us were quite young. You know, it's simple enough for a child to learn, yet it's powerful enough to stay with a person throughout their lives and sustain them, in trials of life and even facing the reality of death. You know, there have been a number of times when I've been, you know, with someone near the end of their life, and, you know, sometimes it even seems like they, you know, are no longer conscious, but you know, it have been times when you have begun to read the psalm and you just see their lips begin to move, you know, along with it, because the truth of this has been implanted so deeply in their hearts and in their souls. You know, this psalm has touched people throughout the ages by its simple beauty and its profound message, which is simply this. The message is this, is that I can trust in God. And no single psalm expresses the confidence of people that the people of God have in the God who can be trusted through all of life and even beyond. Now, Psalm 23 is attributed to David. But it's difficult to tie these words to any particular event in his life. Some scholars believe that the psalm comes from early in David's life when he actually was a shepherd and it arose from his firsthand knowledge of that role. But I believe that it's more likely that these words come from much later in his life, where he's looking back on his life, on the good and the bad, looking at times of ease and times of trial, and he is able to see it all in the context of the goodness and provision of the Lord. But whenever it was written, Psalm 23 reflects David's trust and hope in the Lord, and he does that in terms of the image of the shepherd. And so as we look in the psalm, we see three things. We see the person of the shepherd, we see the promise of the shepherd, and then we see the presence of the shepherd. You know, the psalm begins with an immediate focus on its subject. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, and in this, David uses one of the most comprehensive and intimate images of the psalms. You know, in contrast with the images we saw last week when we looked at Psalm 18, you know, the image of, you know, somewhat distant king or a deliverer, or impersonal images such as a rock or a shield, you know, a shepherd is up close and personal. For a shepherd lives with the flock and is everything to it. Now, unlike when in Scotland and in Wales, sheep in the ancient Middle East were not left to fend for themselves. For it was a very inhospitable environment. And the sheep were dependent on the shepherd for protection, for water, for grazing, for shelter, and for tending to injuries. Without a shepherd's care, the sheep simply would not survive for very long. And so the image of the shepherd, you know, shepherds were providers, they were guides, they were protectors, they were constant companions of their sheep. They are figures of authority and leadership to the animals under their care. The connection between shepherd and sheep is so close that to this day, Middle Eastern shepherds can divide flocks that are mixed together by simply calling their sheep, for the sheep know and follow the shepherd's voice. Anyone think of an image of that in John chapter 10? You know, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." So based on the relationship between sheep and shepherding, you know, the biblical writers use this familiar image to illustrate spiritual reality. And one of the most powerful images we see in that is that of God as the shepherd of his people. You know, from the book of Genesis through the prophets, you know, God is described in numerous places as shepherd of his people. He's one who guides, who protects, who saves, who gathers those who are his own. You know, we read a beautiful passage in Isaiah 40. You know, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. You know, beautiful image, you know, of God's care, of his faithfulness to his people. And so when David proclaimed, you know, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was drawing on that imagery, which would have been very familiar to the people who first heard it. You know, of not only a shepherd and a sheep, but as God, as the shepherd of his people. Now, in the New Testament as well, Jesus is described as the shepherd of his people. In Mark chapter 6, we have the account of the feeding of the 5,000, and we read there, you know, Jesus saw the crowd that had gathered, and he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he took upon himself, in that chapter, the role of the shepherd as one who teaches and who guides, and then ultimately who provides for them. And in verse 39 of chapter 6 of Mark, you know, Jesus had those who were going to be fed to recline, lie down, not sit on green grass. Sound familiar? It was an obvious allusion to lying down in green pastures as they awaited for Jesus' provision. You know, in Luke 15, there's the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus likens himself to the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the lost sheep, bringing it home rejoicing. And sometimes you wonder, you know, why did he leave all the rest? Why didn't he just wait for them to come back? Well, the truth of the matter is, sheep are not like dogs or horses or even cats. When they are lost, they stay lost. They don't find their way back home. In April of 2004, shepherds caught a merino male sheep in New Zealand who had not been shorn for 6 years. The thing was about this wide. This particular sheep, whom they named Shrek, apparently hid in caves to avoid being caught. And after finally being caught, he was shorn by professionals on TV and gained international fame. He even went to Parliament and visited, met New Zealand's Prime Minister. His fleece weighed 60 pounds and contained enough wool to make 20 large men's suits. See, the sheep got lost. He was lost till someone found him. And it is the same, you know, kind of image that Jesus is saying about us. You know, we don't run to Jesus when we're lost, but he goes after us. In John 10, Jesus declared himself to be the good shepherd who would go so far as to lay down his life for sheep. You know, looking forward to that being fulfilled when he died on the cross for you and for me. And so, you know, when you look at it, in some ways, the message of Psalm 23 is actually contains the message of the gospel, that we have a good shepherd who can be trusted to be with us and to restore us. And so David focuses on the person of the shepherd, but also as we go through this passage, we also see the promise of the shepherd. We see there is the promise of provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. You know, the idea that it's the shepherd's responsibility and the shepherd works to provide the sheep what they need. You know, the green pastures and the still waters that are envisioned in this psalm, you know, are places of, you know, not just nice to look at, but for the sheep, they're places of rest and feeding. And the idea is that the shepherd provides what they need. Second, there's the idea of protection. Now, the presence of the shepherd does not mean that there will never be danger or difficulty or trial. But it is a promise that in the midst of it, the sheep are never alone, for the shepherd is always there. You know, this psalm talks about the shadow of the valley of death. Now, that can be understood in two ways. It can be understood as the shadow that death casts, or it can be translated the shadow, the deep darkness. But the image here would have been understandable to the people in that day. Because in the valley, in the desert, in Israel, you know, one can encounter, because of the geography, deep shadows. And so there are shadows all along, and you can never know for sure who, such as bandits or robbers, or what animals or flash floods lurk there. And so what the psalm is saying is that, you know, even in these periods of suspense and this periods of danger, the faithful find assurance that God is with them, and therefore they need not fear, for they will never be left alone. Well, the passage also then goes on to talk about the presence of God's, the presence of the shepherd, that the Lord is with us. In the last two verses of it, there's a slight shifting of the imagery, where verses 1 through 4 are definitely the shepherd as the shepherd relates to the sheep, but then beginning in verse 5, it's slightly different. You know, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, in some ways it shifts the image a little bit, but the image of the shepherd is still there. Because the shepherd not only takes care of the sheep, but there's also the idea of hospitality. You know, even to this day, the Bedouins of the Middle East and people of the desert, you know, they're shepherds, they're nomadic, they take care of sheep. But another one of their values as a culture is that of hospitality. It's in the temple, in the tent of this kind of shepherd that a stranger can come and find rest and find a meal. And find protection. And what this, and this is kind of playing on that kind of image to say that through the shepherd, you know, we have abundant table spread before us. And we have a place where we belong. You know, there have been many musical renditions done of the psalm. My favorite is the one by Isaac Watts, "My Shepherd shall supply my need," and the last verse, you know, speaks to that clearly. It goes, "The sure provision of my God attend me all my days. Oh, may thy house be my abode and all my work be praise." Now here comes the good part. "There would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home." You know, the image that we have there is that, you know, in the Good Shepherd, we have a place where we belong, a place where we are blessed. And then the psalm also goes on to talk more about, you know, the presence of the shepherd. You know, we knowing the Lord as a shepherd, and this whole picture, you know, presumes a relationship. But it's a relationship that's initiated not by us, but by Him. I mean, sheep do not choose their shepherd. Shepherds choose their sheep. And so the presence of the shepherd is known not only through God's work of grace and calling us to Jesus. Well, it is known in that way, but it also is known as we grow in our relationship with Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, we grow in Jesus Christ, I think, primarily as we learn what it means to be dependent upon Him. You know, I've heard it said, and there have been thousands of sermons preached, and maybe I've preached one of them, that said that sheep are stupid. Well, I don't know whether that's really true, but they may not be stupid, but sheep are absolutely dependent. Now, unlike some animals which can survive on their own, sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need care to protect them from predators and other danger, to provide for their needs, to guide and direct them to where they will thrive, to seek them and to find them when they are lost and wandering. Now, think about that. Does that parallel in any way to your experience as one of God's people? Have you ever needed God to protect you from danger, sometimes internal danger? You know, have you ever experienced God as your provider, or as the one who, you know, guides you and directs you to where you will thrive and flourish? Have you ever known what it was for God to seek you out and find you, you know, even maybe after you're a believer and you just kind of wander away? Well, you know what? I have. And so the image that David draws here is for you and for me. How do we grow in our relationship with Jesus, our Good Shepherd? Do we do it by becoming more competent, self-assured, and able to live life on our own? Do we grow as we carefully plan and work out our lives in our own wisdom and in our own understanding? I don't think so. You see, we grow in our relationship with the Good Shepherd. We know His goodness. We see His provision. We experience His grace. as we cultivate an attitude of dependence upon Him alone. John Calvin's commentary on the psalm is insightful. He believes that this is written later in David's life, and in some ways he marvels, you know, that David, who at that point had wealth and who had power and who, you know, had, you know, pretty much everything he could want, still recognized his own dependence on the Lord. Calvin wrote, "But it should be observed that God is a shepherd only to those who, touched by a sense of their own weakness and poverty, feel their need of his protection, who willingly abide in his sheepfold and surrender themselves to be governed by him." David, who excelled both in power and riches, nevertheless frankly confessed himself to be a poor sheep, that he might have God for his shepherd. Who is there then amongst us who would exempt himself from this necessity, seeing our own weakness sufficiently shows us that we are more than miserable if we do not live under protection of this shepherd? We ought to bear in mind that our happiness consists in this, that his hand is stretched forth to govern us, that we live under his shadow, and that his providence keeps watch and ward over our welfare. We know the shepherd. We grow in the shepherd as we recognize our need for and as we desire our shepherd. You see, it's not surprising that many people feel closer to Jesus in hard times than when everything is going great. During good times, it's all too easy for us to begin to think that, you know, we really can get along on our own. And little by little, we find ourselves living in greater independence from God, and he seems farther and farther away. And sometimes the shepherd will force us to recognize our lostness and wandering so that we might return to him and come to a place where we understand that he is what we need. A Sunday school teacher was once asking her group of children if any of them could quote the entire 23rd Psalm. A little 4-year-old girl was among those who raised her hand. A little skeptical, the teacher asked if she could really quote the whole psalm, and she said she could, so she came up to the podium, faced the class, gave a little bow, and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." Then she bowed again and sat down. Now, she may have overlooked a few verses, but she captured David's heart in Psalm 23. And may God be at work in our own hearts, helping us to recognize, you know, whether we do not yet know Jesus or whether we've walked with him a long time, may he cultivate within us continually a sense of dependence and a sense of need, so that we can say and truly believe, "The Lord's my shepherd. That's all I want." And it is that attitude, that God uses in powerful ways, not only to remake us, but to use us to share the good news of the good shepherds with others. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we do